We're pleased that Brother Walter Herchuk is able to be with us in convention. He was here with us 2 years ago. Reminded me that he traveled through a good snowstorm to get home, I guess, from here. And traveled through some good rainstorms last night to get here to this time. But we're glad that they were able to be here. And we look forward to his service. The subject which he will speak to us on is faith. Faith. Brother Walter.
Dear brethren, Sister Wanda and I are very happy to be here with you today. As Brother Tom mentioned, it was 2 years ago that we were curious of the brethren in Omaha, and we thought we'd come down to be at their convention, and we received a great blessing. We received a great blessing from our first speaker. We're going to try to prolong the thoughts somewhat along this line, as Brother Len has brought to our attention, with the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. But before I do that, I'd like you to bring you the love and the greetings from your brethren in Winnipeg. We have the Ukrainian brethren, the Polish brethren, and the English brethren. And they wanted to be remembered to you here in Omaha. As Brother Len brought out to our attention, self-examination, happiness, cheerfulness is something we want to attain to. And yet the Apostle tells us in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 to examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, if we read this statement on the surface, it may, maybe we have memorized this text, but if we really look into it, brethren, we find that what is our faith really? And one being consecrated to the Lord many years, it will also depend on what he is building his faith upon. Strong's Concordance in 3985 gives us a definition of examination as to try, make trial of, or test for the purpose of ascertaining the quality of. The Companion Bible defines the word examine as to prove, to try, prove yourself if you are in the faith. You will notice that he mentions the faith. And we believe this is in reference to what the Apostle Jude is telling us in the third verse where he says, to the faith once delivered unto the saints. In the gospel age, we believe this faith is the faith of the new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have to walk in newness of life. There has to be a change. God puts a very high premium on faith. We read about the faith of Noah, of Moses, Abraham, Joseph, young man at 17, the Old Testament heroes. And then when we look into the New Testament, we see our Lord, the apostles, and the faithful brethren during the gospel age, many giving their lives for the faith. We will be examining the word faith and hope that this lesson will strengthen your faith, brethren, and mine, to prove to ourselves whether we are strong in the faith. Our dear Apostle Paul gives us a good, clear definition of the word faith. as others do also, especially the Apostle Paul, when he tells us that faith is the substance or the assurance of things of that which we hope for. With help from other translations, this text reads, faith is the assurance of that which we hope for. What is our hope, dear brethren? If we have understood the meaning of the high calling or the heavenly calling in Christ Jesus, this will be the greatest attainment of a human individual to live and reign with Christ and see God. This is something, brethren, beyond our imagination at this point in time. As the Apostle tells us, we see only dimly, and this through faith. But to live with God and Christ, this will be something, dear brethren, that we're, as we have mentioned, that God does put a great premium on one who is able to exercise faith in an evil world. With all the influences around us, and to have a clear and clean and strong faith, there is the great premium of having a higher reward. This is why the Apostle Paul says, this is the one thing I do. What did he do? He ran toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-14. It is a holy calling, a call to walk in holiness. 2 Timothy 1:9. The Apostle warns us and prayed that our God would count us worthy of this calling. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. So, dear brethren, to us, just the mere belief is not sufficient. The Apostle further informs us, brethren, give diligence or more care, greater effort, be more zealous, exert yourselves to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. We notice in Galatians 5:22, the Apostle speaks of the fruits of the Spirit. And there we find that not only love is a fruit of the Spirit, but also faith. This is quite interesting, meaning that as a fruit tree needs cultivation and attention to produce fruit, so we, as new creatures in Christ, we have to undergo, brethren, a process of growth in faith from the time one consecrates his life in order to produce the proper fruits of the Spirit, or plainly speaking, to grow in the image and likeness of our Master through faith. So this is something which has a small beginning. I was somewhat encouraged that it is, or for some time I did not know that it was a spirit, that it was a fruit of the Spirit. It needs cultivation. And if anyone has some knowledge of farm life, we know what it is to start plants, to start anything that it may grow and produce fruit. Faith is very important in our earthly pilgrimage. For the Apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, or charity. These three. But from this we learn that not only do we have to develop a strong faith, which will come to an end when we die, but we also have to develop love, which will be with us forever. As love is the most excellent thing, so it is the most enduring, for will not faith practically come to an end when we shall see and know thoroughly, as the comments we read in August 23rd manna? So we see, dear brethren, that now we possess faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So we do have to cultivate faith. We do have to cultivate hope, which we need on this side of the veil, brethren. And we do need to cultivate love, which will be with us forever. Why is God calling such a class, brethren, to have such strong faith? We see that the natural man, it is foolishness to him, unto him to know anything that of the deep things of God. So therefore, our Lord admonishes us to have faith in God. Mark 11:22. And this is something, brethren, that we also have to cultivate, to have faith that there is someone, there is a personal God who sees, who knows, who understands, and that we can come to in our prayers, and not just something that we cannot see, feel, or touch. We believe that somewhere is up above us. Just as the Lord mentioned to Nicodemus about what it means what is a spirit being similar to wind. So we know that God is a spiritual being. Our Lord is a spiritual being which we cannot see with our eyes. So the Lord admonishes us to have faith in God as He came from God. We cannot see God. We did not see Jesus. We did not see the apostles. Yet through faith in God's word, we come to know who God is. Love, power, justice, and wisdom. That He lives in the heavens. Somewhere's up there in the sky. The Pleiades, a great being. With our small minds, we can hardly comprehend. Yet by faith, we believe that He exists. That we can approach His throne of grace for help in every time of need. And surely this is a great blessing to us, dear brethren. What a privilege. All is joy through the power of faith. We must believe that a God exists. And as we read in the Psalms, that when we look about us, somebody did create all this that we see with our naked eye. How important this item of faith is, we probably cannot fully appreciate now. It seems to be the one thing that the Lord especially seeks for those who are now called to be followers of the Master, as we read in the comments of the October 15th manna. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe, must have faith that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. And then we are warned by our Lord, according to thy faith be it unto you. What we believe, brethren, that's what we will receive. It would seem to be the Lord's method of dealing with us, all who are His disciples, from the first to the last of the Christian walk and experience. Faith when He seems not to notice us. Faith when things seem to be going prosperous with us, and in our spiritual affairs, and in our temporal affairs. And faith equally strong when the currents and forces seem all to be against us, as we read the account of Job, who had everything and lost everything, yet he did not lose faith in God. Not only do we have to have faith, but we are admonished to hold on to it. Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. Hebrews 10:23. And this is very important, brethren, as we are longer in the walk, that we become stronger. As we mentioned, faith is a fruit of the Spirit, something that we can cultivate, something that has a small growth, and something that grows into a great tree, into a great profession, And we have to display not only the leaves of profession, brethren, but the fruit of faith, which will demonstrate to others that we are those who are striving to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let us ever remember the importance of patient endurance, that we may not only cultivate the Christian graces and practice them, but that we may take joyfully the trials, the persecutions, or the difficulties which our Lord may see proper to permit to come upon us for our testing, for our development of character. The Apostle Jude, a very small epistle but very meaningful, admonishes us further and says, "It is needful to me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We know that our dear brethren throughout the gospel age did not have the light, did not have all the helps that we have to enhance our faith, to develop it, as we have with the helps we know of all the literature that we have now, with the help of the divine plan of the ages, with the help of our dear pastor. And yet we believe that whatever demonstration that they did have during the gospel age, during the dark ages, was sufficient to make their calling and election sure. They had strong faith in a God, in a loving God, in a God of vengeance, who will bring this earth of ours to order through the kingdom so dearly prayed for in our Lord's model prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Further, our good fight of faith consists in a considerable measure in our defense of the Word of God, which includes also our defense of the truth. This will mean our willingness to stand for the truth at any cost against the creeds, the theories of men, which would misrepresent the good tidings of great joy which the Lord and the apostles have announced, and which, thank God, yet shall be unto all people, as the apostle again says, "I am set for the defense of the truth." Philippians 1:17. So our faith is very important, and yet we have to be careful, brethren, especially at this end of the age, that we may not be a stumbling block to our brethren, to have the discernment, to have the understanding, as there are many problems among the brethren in regards to what is the faith. We have to be very careful. We have to have the understanding, and maybe the word that I want to use is that we may see both sides of the question and try to come to some understanding, unless it's something that is obviously wrong. The brethren in various ecclesias have the privilege and opportunity to study the truth and also proclaim the truth over radio, over the television, printed page, and this is done through faith. We believe, dear brethren, that the kingdom will be established. We believe that God has a great plan of salvation for mankind, and we are very happy about it. This is what I believe is the motivation for most of us, dear brethren, that there is going to be a kingdom and we're going to have a share in it, that we are encouraged to consecrate, and consecration is always in order, and those who will be worthy of this high calling in Christ Jesus through strong faith, and who have this faith to make their calling and election sure. And yet it will not be easy. The Bible tells us it will not be easy. Our faith will be tried. And the Apostle Peter in 1:17 reminds us of this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. And I'm sure you and I, we have undergone much heat. We have been in the fire of trials, persecutions with our brethren. We have been in this fire to to try our faith in the world. And also to stand, brethren, that we may not be condemned and that our conscience may be clear. It is a great test to stand in the faith. It is our faith that is on trial now. In the calmer days when the sun of favor shone upon us, we were quietly laying down the foundation of a knowledge of the truth and building a Christian character. And now we are in the furnace to be proved. We should have courage, fortify our patience, nerve ourselves to endurance, hold fast to our hope, call to mind the promises that they are still ours, and we should not cast away our confidence, for there is great reward in store for us. And we have the assurance, brethren, that in confidence and quietness shall be our strength. And we need spiritual strength, brethren, to stand in this evil day, because there is so much to discourage us. We need the patience. Our faith has to be fortified, that we carry on, that through faith we can look to another day and look patiently unto Him who will help us in all matters of life and give us, through our faith, victory. The Apostle Paul told young Timothy, a young brother, Titus and Timothy were two young brethren in the truth, and we have many young brethren today. I'm very happy to see them, and we should encourage them that their faith may grow. As we mentioned, it is a fruit of the Spirit. The growth can be very small at the beginning, and yet those of us who have been longer in the way, or a matter of fact, anyone should help our brethren to help them to consecrate. Help them to receive the blessing from the Lord, as Brother Len has brought to our attention, to have have his blessing. We had a young sister just consecrated at our convention in Winnipeg. We're very happy for her. And the Apostle Paul told young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, where he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." We believe here was a young man, brethren, who was sitting at the feet of Paul, learning. Are we sitting at the feet of Jesus, brethren, learning? Are we going to our studies? Are we learning at home? Do we want to learn? Or do we just go to school, just go to a meeting and sit through it and go home and do what we did before? There must be a fight of faith. We must want to know the groundwork of our faith. We want to know more about David. We want to know more about Abraham, about Moses. We want to know more about our Lord and the apostles, and what is written in the Bible. There must be warfare against the world, the flesh and the devil, or else we will not be accepted by the Lord as overcomers. We have to be careful that the Lord's Spirit actuates us in this warfare, not the spirit of the adversary. Sometimes we do make those mistakes, brethren, but we have to be very careful. We do learn by mistakes. We know that Apostle Peter made very many mistakes. The Apostle Peter went to the extent of denying our Lord 3 times. And this shows us the possibility, brethren, that we can make mistakes in our lives. And that was why we are encouraged that we have to forgive. Not only 7 times, but 7 times 70, in case our brethren may come to us and say, "Brother, I have erred. Forgive me." Part of our warfare. We have to be very careful. This reminds us of our armor explained in Ephesians in conjunction with the good fight of faith. We know a soldier has to be prepared. A policeman has to be prepared. We need the whole armor. The apostle doesn't say to put on part of the armor, but he says to put on the whole armor of God. Loins girt about with truth, breastplate of righteousness, sandals of peace, the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And there are many. The battleground is in our own minds, dear brethren. That's where the new creature is, right up here. And we have to be careful what we entertain into our minds. What we entertain is what we call the mind, the heart, the spiritual heart. We have to have on the helmet of salvation, and it has to be the right size, that it doesn't, that it fits. As the pastor mentioned, sometimes our heads could swell and the helmet will not fit and the darts may reach us. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Prayer, instant, earnest requests with watchfulness. And then the apostle mentions a part of the armor is the shield of faith. They had in olden times, a soldier had the shield. He was able to, when the spears were flying, he was able to bounce them off with his shield. And this is also the lesson for us, dear brethren, that we have the shield of faith. And what is our faith? What do I really believe in? We have to examine ourselves. What is my faith? We know that we have no power which to oppose Satan. None are capable of this except our Lord. But yet we remember, brethren, that God is greater than Satan and all his angels. We are looking forward with the eye of faith to the things that are unseen. We must learn to be steadfast, immovable, full of faith, and therefore be able to meet whatever the Father permits to come upon us. And from each one will be, you will have separate trials from mine. So we see, dear brethren, that our faith is very important to us. If we believe that present truth, as we understand it from the divine plan of the ages, I think we are on safe ground. But then the dark will come along. It's 112 years since the pastor. Do you really think it is the truth? So what do we do? We have to be very careful, brethren, and settle it in our own minds what we have believed to be the truth. Do we still believe in the high calling? If that is our hope, dear brethren, that you may fortify it. We recall courageous Apostle Peter, who was ready to walk on the water. But to read in Matthew the 14th chapter and 31, when he saw the wind, the boisterous water, he was afraid and began to sink. And Jesus stretched out forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We have doubts. And we have this shown in the Apostle Thomas. He had doubts. And why is it recorded? All the apostles were different. Each one had a different lifestyle. We know that there were three that were very courageous: John, James, and Peter. Seemed to be the closest to the Master. So, with the eye of faith, brethren, we must learn to be steadfast, immovable. But ye, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude 20 and 21. What must be done to overcome this lack of faith and to have an increase of faith? We should pray, as the Lord taught us, Lord, increase our faith. But do we just pray and wait for miracles, brethren? Oh, no. Lord never deals with us in that manner. He will never give us anything for nothing. It's the same as when we go to our place of employment. If we put in 8 hours, we'll get paid for 8 hours of work. But if we don't go to work, we do not get paid for anything. It's the same thing with building our faith. What we put into it, as was already mentioned, that's what we get out of it. So it does require, in order to the fulfillment of the prayer, admonishment of our Lord to Peter, Lord, increase our faith. We have to take action, brethren. We have to study. We have to meditate. We have to overcome our own weaknesses. Our eye is out of the picture. Acting in harmony with this prayer, each should cultivate faith in his own heart by refreshing his memory continually with the divine promises and how important they are to us, especially when we have trials. One that comes to mind immediately, brethren, that I shall never leave thee or forsake thee. This was one that was of great help to me, that there is a God, as we mentioned before, have faith in God who is looking, who sees us. There's our Lord Jesus. There's our guardian angel who is ready to help us, unseen. Do we have faith in that, dear brethren? That is why I believe all our studies, all our conventions are aimed. We hear different speakers and we are built up, reinforced our faith. We can't be any different, brethren. We are Christians or we aren't. We are new creatures or we are not new creatures. We are consecrated or we are not consecrated. It's as simple as that. And yet, we may get some forceful lessons from our brethren. These are needed, brethren. Don't run away from them. It's like a father who chastises his children. Why? Does he use a rod to break their backs? Oh, no. It's to help them. In that hand that holds the rod, that hand is full of love in there. That's what our Lord does, to correct, to help, to steer, to guide, encourage. Sometimes the words may be a little forceful, but they are needed, brethren. They are needed. We don't want to be putty, mud-like. The Lord doesn't want that. The Lord wants jewels. Something very hard. Diamonds, crystals, pearls of great price, or diamonds. And when they get together, and the pastor mentions to us, if they are rubbing, they could get burned. But if the Holy Spirit is in between them, it will all come out, that they will become cleaner and grander. To increase our faith, we should have conferences with our unholy things with our brethren. We read about the Canaanite woman whose daughter was plagued with a demon. Her daughter was healed by Jesus because of her faith. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. Matthew 15:28. The more we study the subject of faith, the more we are convinced that in God's sight, faith is necessary and very precious. It may be one day that we will be put somewhere in isolation. Many works and wonders to be done beyond 1,000 years, brethren. The worlds we see about us, we may be put in isolation to do a great work. Can we be trusted? So the reason why our faith has to be strong and cultivated is that we are sure who God is and what He requires from us to be established in the faith. As we mentioned, we cannot come to God without faith. We cannot abide in His love without faith. We cannot receive day by day His mercies and blessings. And leadings except by faith in His promises. We cannot go on day by day following the Lord except as we are able to walk by faith and not by sight. We cannot be prepared for the heavenly kingdom unless we exercise faith in the various lessons given to us in the school of Christ. And faith is a great power. Ye are the salt of the earth. And the definition of salt is a preservative. Ye are the light of the world. And this preservative, brethren, is faith. As the Apostle Peter tells us in 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. By the power of God and through faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. These scriptures do not apply to anyone, not to anyone who has not come to a point of consecration. They're meaningless to them. And the Lord says, if somebody feels that he doesn't need a physician, that he feels whole, well, that's fine. But we have come to the point, brethren, where we need a Savior. Yes, it's fine that we live the 20, 30, 40, 50 years, but what happens after that? What happens when our loved one is taken away from us? When we have all the funeral discourses and we try to give a witness to the world, dear brethren, that there's hope. So this is our faith, brethren. Faith in the kingdom. That it will be established. God is not at peace with any others except those who will come to a consecration and to the condition of the sons of God at this time. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's a gift, pure gift. Nothing to boast about. And that is why the Lord says, sit down and count the cost. Count it. We just had a lesson on stewardship and how important it is, brethren, to a steward in the old times was a man of great responsibility. He was, you might call him a manager. He was placed in, and he was to manage one's affairs. And we are stewards. It's a gift, brethren. Yes. The truth that we have received. All of God's plan is a great, it's a great gift. The world will be taken of the water of life freely, a gift. Whosoever cometh, let him take of the water of life freely. Such a great blessing. And to us now, brethren, that if we can exercise this faith and have it grow, increase, that we can see this great truth. I saw brother so-and-so, and my, he was a blessing to me. I saw sister so-and-so. Even though, brethren, that we sometimes, those diamonds rub one to another and there is friction. But that's not the point. The point is the oil between those jewels. And the point is to make progress. And the point is to make amends of whatever has come. And to grow strong. The Lord is seeking for those. We know that God is immovable. Nobody can shake him. And he wants the new creatures to be immovable. The just shall live by faith, the apostle tells us in Hebrews 10:3. It is not enough that by faith we receive the first impulse of life, but having passed from death unto life, we must continue to receive spiritual nourishment and make it our own and grow by the leading of the Holy Spirit through the word of truth. The life of faith is an individual matter. It is an intellectual assurance and also a heart reliance on the Lord. And when we think of bread in order that we may grow spiritually, we have to gather it daily, as it was shown in the type where they had to gather the manna daily. Some have said, well, I've read the volumes, I know them. That's enough for me. No, brethren, they could be of the class as mentioned by in the parable of the sower, could be on the wayside. Yes, there was some response, some growth, but later on, the heat of the day, it burnt them up. It could burn us up. To be faithful unto the end, to receive a crown of life. Truth, faith, is far more than an acceptance of doctrines, which we consider scriptural. It is the absorbing of that which we have proved to be the truth in our own minds, so that its principles become our principles and its promises become our inspiration. Further, the Apostle James tells us, 2:20, that faith without works is dead. There's so many lessons we have in regards to faith, brethren, that yes, we can have faith, but if there are no works attached to it, it's dead. If we have heard, if we have seen, if we have tasted of the grace of God and enjoyed it, and if we have no desire to serve our gracious Heavenly Father or to assist others to the same blessings that we enjoy, it implies that our spiritual vitality is very weak and in danger of perishing. But if on the contrary we find ourselves burning with fervency of love for the Lord and with appreciation of His great plan of salvation and are consumed with the desire to tell the good tidings to others for the blessing, for the strengthening, for the upbuilding and participation in divine faith, it should encourage us very much. We should notice too that Jesus specially loved and favored the more zealous, the more vigorous, the more energetic of the apostles, and that is Peter, James, and John. And we may also be sure that he appreciated the Apostle Paul later on. So we see, dear brethren, the Apostle James gives us a little different view of the same building, we might say. We may look the faith structure of this as maybe this building. From the one side, we may see this aspect. From the other side, the Apostle tells us that faith without works is dead. And the Apostle James goes on further to say, I will show thee my faith by my works. And we have seen many brethren burning the midnight oil. Many elders burning the midnight oil. And also, when we look at that green commons, I just comes to mind of the sacrifice of the brethren in Chicago to look up all those scriptures, to collate all that information, brethren, for the brethren. It's so handy for us. We appreciate that very much. Burning the midnight oil. Not resting one day a week, but as the manna has told us, 7 days a week. Not working 8 hours a day for the Lord, but the pastor tells us we should work at least 16 hours a day. Put in a full day. some brethren put in almost 20 hours a day. A lot of work is being done, brethren, behind the scenes. Just like preparing for a movie, there's a lot of, we look at the cast, there's a list of names. Everybody had to do something. So the same in the Lord's service, brethren. Not counting anything dear to us. While the Lord's people of the present age are not to be judged by their works, but rather by their faith, nevertheless, works will be required. By our works we demonstrate our faith, and thank God, and perfect works can demonstrate to Him the loyalty of our intentions, our wills, that faith will be acceptable to Him, and we will be counted perfect and granted a share in the kingdom, and all the great and precious things which the Lord has in reservation for those who love Him, not merely in word, but also in deed, who strive by the deeds of life to show forth, to demonstrate their love. So it is a great work within us, brethren. It's a life work. And from the very first day we start, but someone will say, well, I've made not too much progress. What do I do? Well, let's start afresh from today, from tomorrow, whenever. Never too late. And let us revive our consecration as we did during the Memorial season, brethren. It's a revival of our consecration, a renewal. We want to carry on. We want to be more loving. Maybe there's something we didn't know. Maybe there's something that we have just learned. And the Lord is very gracious, very merciful to help us. And even if we have made a lot of mistakes, and that is why the Lord admonished us to forgive 70 times 7, because there's some that make very many mistakes and make repetitive mistakes. What are we going to do with that? If any brother or sister is in the, has the right spirit and say, brother, I've done wrong, forgive me, we help these brethren immediately. Faith is a matter of cultivation and of development. The same apostles who cried out in terror when the storm was upon the Sea of Galilee gradually grew stronger and stronger in faith until, as the records show, they could and did trust the Lord where they could not trace Him. Similar, it should be a part of our daily lessons to cultivate trust in the Lord and to think of the experiences in the past in our own lives and all the lessons of His Word, where He delivered us, where He helped us, where He encouraged us, where He picked us up with His staff. As you read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Yes, sometimes the sheep falls into the ditch. And the shepherd comes along and he has a long... He's got two. He's got a rod and he's got a staff. The rod he may have to chase away the enemies, but with that long one he pulls the lamb out. He helps them. We have to look back. And that our faith in Him may become rooted and grounded. Our faith will be refined. But who may abide the day of His coming, of His presence? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. But He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And we see the trials continuing, brethren, among the various classes. By faith we wait for the kingdom to be established. The Lord has a lot of time, brethren. We don't have to rush it. We are subject to temptations. Satan lost faith in God. James 2:19 tells us that the devils believe and tremble, and yet they will not change their course as their hearts are overcharged with doing evil continually. We have to be careful that we do not practice any of the devil's tactics in our consecrated walk, that our faith may shield us and state firmly as did our Lord, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Sometimes we don't use the right, maybe, tone of voice. That's very important. Sometimes we really get out the boomerang, so to speak, and get after Satan or sometime after our brethren. We have to be careful here, careful along this line, brethren. If we do not have faith to stand trials, we are not of the kind of whom God at the present time is looking for. If we cannot stand the trials, He is seeking for a peculiar people. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Immortality will be given to those only who can be trusted forever, who will be obedient to God. These have learned that there is a true God and that He changes not. We must learn to think positive. God does not force any person to believe. He sees best to select those who will serve Him voluntarily. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23. There will be trials to test our faith. Trials in the church. Trials cultivate gentleness, meekness, and patience. And all things work out for good for those who love God, as we have stated. And sometimes we notice, brethren, that when we have the trials, we don't know a way out. It's very hot. And these trials cultivate gentleness, meekness, and patience. It's a poor way of doing it, but maybe that's the only way the Lord can do it, to change us. That's what the Lord is going to do with the world. He has to enforce His great time of trouble, or else He cannot change the course of the world. Time of trouble has never was since there was a nation. We could consider very many more points, brethren, but our time is up. So may the Lord, may our faith be motivated by love. The apostle warns us, though I have all faith, so that I could remove all mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. So you see the combination, you see the interweaving, brethren, of all the characteristics, all the graces, all the fruits of the Spirit have to be interwoven, so in order that we may be found worthy before our Heavenly Father. There is one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. There's joys of faith in Philippians 1 and 25. The apostle stated at the end of his course, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So, our opening words, and in closing, here is the patience of the saints, that they keep their commandments of God and of faith, and the faith of Jesus, Revelation 14:12. So our opening text, brethren, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. This is my wish for you and for myself. And as we go on, graduating in the school of Christ, we are still in the school of Christ. We haven't graduated. And there's so many lessons to be learned. And there's different lessons. When you're younger, you learn different lessons. When you grow on, you learn a little different lessons. And when you grow older, you still learn lessons. And let us not be as Moses, who in his old age was not permitted to enter. Someone can be a long time in the way and can lose that great prize. Let us be careful. Let us examine ourselves, and may our faith be strong, brethren, intermingled with love. May the Lord add His blessing.
Appreciate that lesson, Brother Walter, on faith. Many, many helpful thoughts in the remarks that you made. Appreciate the emphasis on the fact that our faith must be an active and a living faith. That faith is not just a pattern or structure of belief. We find that the word is used that way sometimes in the scriptures, but there is the full breadth of faith that we are to develop, that this becomes part then of our being. And we exercise faith in many ways. In, for instance, the example brought out that trials, even in the among the fellowship of the body members, occur from time to time, but these experiences can cultivate
growth in character. And those on both sides of a trial or confrontation or issue, the Lord can overrule these. And faith is exercised in having that confidence that these benefits can come from the experiences. The experiences don't result in a loss or a gain for the different ones, but all can gain from the experience. Our faith must be full to have the confidence in the Lord that all these things that we go through, whether in our daily life or in our fellowship, can work out for everyone's benefit. Again, thank you for those remarks, Brother Walter. And then ask Brother Walter to close this session of the convention, and also asking a blessing on the noonday meal, which will be served immediately after in the lower level of this building.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before Thee at this time to give Thee thanks for all the many manifold blessings we have received from Thee. We thank Thee for this arrangement of the convention, for the brethren who are able to attend, and that together Thou bless us, that we may know each other better, and also that we may be an encouragement one to another to walk in this narrow way. Please increase our faith. We ask a blessing upon the noonday meal here prepared by the brethren. Bless it for our use. Also, we ask Thy blessing for the fellowship during this noon meal time. We ask forgiveness for our shortcomings, and mindful of all the brethren the world over, we further commit ourselves into Thy care and keeping, asking it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.